So about 14 years ago, Papa started going down from where we lived in Oregon to a town in California called Orland. I forget just how far away it was, but it was a good long drive. And we'd buy a truck and trailer load of oranges and bring them back up and sell them. And that's what we did in the winter. And there was quite a few trips every winter we'd make, a handful of trips. And us boys got to go along. And the man we bought oranges from was this nice old man. He had his own little grove. And one day when we were there, he pulled out a tape measure. And he said, let me show you something, like to Pop, I guess. And we were there. Me and Levi, I think, were there. And he said, so how old are you? And Papa was mid-30s, something like that. And he says, okay, right there. He says, what do you think is a good long life? And I forget if he said 70 or 80. I think it was something like 80. The Bible says, you know, 70, that's 70. And he says, okay, so, right. It's hard. I'm going to set it up, but it's hard for you to see right now. Here's 80. He says, okay, so you're, this is back then, but you're right here. He said, buddy, I'm right there. And of course, he asked us boys how old we were, and I think I was 6, way down there, and Levi was like 5. So I'm going to set this up right here. See if I can do this. So I'll climb tight enough. That'll stay. So I was going to ask a few people how old they are. Some people don't want to get asked. But so I'm right here where this tape is. We've been in Missouri since here. If you want to put on a graph. Robert Kane is right here.
Where's
80? 80? 80's right here. Joe Yoder's right here. And Dijon's off the charts. So here's 40, if you can't see the numbers. So he pulled out the tape measure like he's going to show some trick or some joke. But sobering, right? I know. Let's see. So he didn't sing the song, but the song was right there in that song. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply to our heart's wisdom. I heard another version that said that we may use them, something like we may use them to thy will, but I couldn't find it. Different translations say it slightly differently, but to that degree. So if you're thinking of your life as this tape measure, wherever you are, it may not be for you if you've been thinking about it, but a lot of times, wherever you are, it's like, wow, I didn't know I was that far along, or I didn't know. And of course, the average life expectancy is nothing to go off of, because we can die any time. People die young. People die just after breathing for a few seconds. Some live longer than others. That's just the reality of life. But I know when I was over here. Well, so much for that. When I was younger, I thought it'd be a lot longer before I am where I am now. And I feel like the time's gone really quickly. And yeah. So some people live long lives. I once met someone who was 100 years old. Maybe people have met people older than that. And we can tell they've lived a long time, but we can't. But that doesn't say what they did with their life. So it's not about the number of years that you live. It's about what you do with those years that make your life valuable and have meaning. Do we number our days? Do we realize how important every single day and how valuable it is? We don't know how much longer we have. There's that the song Joseph would sing. Behold, thou hast made my days as a hen's breath. And when I was younger, or for a long time, I misunderstood those words as a hen's breath, which it sounds very similar. And I thought it made perfect sense. It was the right thing for the context. Have you ever seen a chicken or a hen breathing on a very cold morning? You can see the little puff of breath come out of their nostrils. And there's not much to it. And I just thought that's what it was for the longest time. So every person has the exact same number of hours and minutes every day. It's interesting that rich people can't buy more time, can't buy more hours. Scientists can't invent new minutes. And you can't save time to use it another day or another time. It just comes to you in that order. So we're supposed to redeem the time. And all of our time should be God's time. Time can be our tool, but we can also be its slave. Even so, time is amazingly fair and forgiving. No matter how much time you wasted in the past, you can still have tomorrow. So I'm going to sum it up by a nice saying. It's not the days in your life, but the life in your days that count. And as in count, as in what we, how we give our time to others and how we spend it, you know, for the Lord. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Dito. It was a good reminder, whether we're 70 or 7, that time is moving on. The brevity of life is a constant theme, I guess, in Old and New Testament. In the Psalms, it talks about life is wind, Psalms 103, Psalm 78, and Job 7 talks about our life is a wind that passes over and it's gone. Think of all the analogies of our time. A hand breath, a shadow, a tale that was told. Once upon a time, there was a man named Max Hoffman, and he had 6 children and a beautiful wife, and then he passed away. It's time. And you know, one of the songs we sang, if you looked in the corner, left-hand corner, it was written by Michael Sattler. He's one of my heroes. Oh, I want to be like Michael Sattler. His life was cut out real quick, wasn't it? Him and his wife. And time. It's here today and gone tomorrow. So thank you, Dito. Got to redeem the time. And we can do that by like Michael Sadler, living out the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount and rejoicing that there's something greater than this life. The glory is nothing. In the next life is nothing do we have to enjoy in this life. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. The opening and the subject of time and what we do with our time is sobering to me. And always has been, because I feel like growing up, my parents were always, not always, I shouldn't say always, but often seemed like they were always too busy to do things that I thought we should have time for. And I think it's why the instances when I do know that they took extra time for something that had to do with me probably stands out to me. I think about that, the verse you quoted, redeem the time. He talks about how we shouldn't be sleeping. Awake, O sleeper. And then he says, we should be walking as in the day. And then he says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil, and to be wise and not foolish. And you know, the word redeem kind of means like to rescue or to buy back. How do we do that? Makes me think of a German song that the writer who I think is probably an early Anabaptist writer that wrote it, but if I understand right, it was a writer who was kind of older when he got converted and joined the faith. And in his song, he laments, it starts in something like, when I think about how much sin I've committed and how much time I've wasted. So he says something in there like, my best years, my best time, I've totally squandered and just heeded life so lightly and didn't bring my, I think he's referring to the parable of the talents. He says, nicht mein Pfund in Wechselbracht. It means like, I didn't bring my shilling or my talent to the money changers, something like that. Which is kind of interesting to think about, but anyway, I think I think what we can do, you know, after we realize that we've wasted time, we've lived in sin, we have walked unwisely, is just to redeem the time by just making the most of it and recognizing that we've been purchased and we've wasted time that's been given to us as a gift, and now to use it wisely. And then another thought I had was a quote from Leo Tolstoy where he said, the two most powerful warriors are patience and time. And I think it's because they're unstoppable. There's just no stopping time. You just do whatever you want. It just keeps coming. And in a similar way, patience. Like, as long as it's patience, it can wait. It can tarry. Maybe one slight correction to something you said, Dito, and I think I'd probably agree with what you were bringing out, but I don't think we can always just say, well, it's so forgiving, we'll always have tomorrow. So, because sometime we won't. But it is forgiving, and we can redeem it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dito. It's just always inspiring to think about time, and I appreciate the angle that you came at it. It's a great way to visualize it with that tape up there. I guess you know some of the comments you made, I think particularly about how you can't borrow time or make more time. It made me think about all the different things you can do with time. you can redeem it, like the scripture says, and try to make good use of it. You can be productive with your time, but you can also waste time, and things that are akin to that would be trifling time, biding time. Biding would be like waiting for the right opportunity, the right moment. I don't know that that's necessarily wrong. I think sometimes there's wisdom in that, instead of rushing headlong into something. But one thing that I also thought, and it was something I was talking about with my family this morning, is you can also accumulate time. And it shows. We were watching some of the oldest videos from church this morning and trying to pick out who's who, and time changes people. It just does. And one of the things that made me think about is, you know, we have, in the United States in particular, we have this generation called the baby boomers. And it's a big spike in population. And because there's such a big bunch of people from, you know, the mid to late 40s up until about the mid 1960s, all of our culture and society caters to them. And a lot of people get tired of it. And they're still a very dominant force in our society and our culture. And so, like, a way to vent this frustration or to talk about it is this super disrespectful expression. If somebody of that generation is sharing their opinion, somebody of my generation might say, "Okay, boomer," which is just so disrespectful. And it made me, this morning I was just thinking about, you know, like, as generations age, they are more deserving of our respect because they have accumulated more time than we have, and more experience, and more hardship, and more joy, and more success, and more failure. And for all of those reasons, and particularly when you look at how Jesus viewed older generations of people and how we were supposed to care for them, or that was the structure that he was endorsing at the time, taking care of the older generation, I just think we should all work on respecting people who have accumulated a lot of time and sowing back into them what they would have sowed into us in our generation. Anyway, I just appreciate it, Dito. I know that's a rabbit trail. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
So I appreciate the message. It's a really good topic. This is an amazing topic, actually. It gets your brain thinking about things that we should really think about all the time. This morning, just briefly, I was thinking about something kind of weird. I was thinking about, I was just looking at, Ephesians 2:8-10. I was just kind of looking at, I was thinking about mathematics and how mathematics might relate to spiritual things, and just kind of being weird in my thoughts. And I started thinking about time, and I was like, so it's interesting, you know, the Holy Spirit will kind of put these things into our thoughts all at the same time. I've seen that happen before. I have a tiny bit of a testimony. When I was, before I started preaching, I was really lazy. It was one of the things that I struggled with, was laziness. I went away from, I had an escape from life in video games. And I would waste my time, it was vanity. And I was in a lukewarm state. And I didn't realize that, you know, it's like there was a spiritual blinding over my eyes of my current state with the Lord. And I was telling myself that I had a really strong faith, but I didn't realize that I didn't. And I was backsliding, and I walked into a liquor store because I was drinking at the time. And this was back when I used to wear cross necklaces. I don't really, my thoughts have changed on that now. I wore that, and the guy behind the counter just kind of looked down at the cross necklace and looked at me, and it just hit me, and I was like, yeah, he has the right to do that. I mean, he's a sinner, and I'm a sinner at the time, and it just woke me up. But then I realized, how am I not seeing, you know, that I'm not right with the Lord? And it's just something that it was a blinding. It's a really dangerous thing. Before I woke up and I prayed to the Lord for diligence, you know, I realized that I needed to fear the Lord. Like the scripture says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. But I felt like I wanted to mention this because we may not see how serious things are. Like the scripture says, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Sometimes we may have a self-righteousness in our mind. We'll deceive ourselves. Like the scripture talks about our heart. Our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. So just thinking about these things, the matters of time is like, I really love how our brother portrayed this whole, you know, kind of like you're visually looking at like a perception of something. We might have a perception in our mind that we're going to live a long time, but really we don't know when we're going to die. And like how the scripture says, the Lord may say to you, fool, tonight your life is required of you. And we don't know. We have no idea. And for some reason in this time, I just want to tell you the spiritual blinding is real. It can happen to any of us. I was just like, I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't thinking that the Lord could just take my life and I would be in hell, you know? And after the concourse of all the events that happened to me, depression, all these things that he rescued me out of that I don't deserve, it's like he put this drive in me that all glory to the Lord, all glory to the Lord. He put this drive in me that made me realize, not just in myself, but with other people, that their time may be short, you know, to reach out to them, their time may be short. That at any time someone's life can be taken, that they don't see that. And it's something that you can't describe other than spiritually. So I really like this portrayal that was laid out, and that we may see things on the surface and that's not how it really is. You know, we need to realize that God knows all things, and he has a certain beginning and end for us. And then we're going to pass into eternity. So, I just, you know, like the scripture says, to exhort one another daily, unless, you know, our heart may be deceived by sin. May deceive us by sin. In sin. So, I just, you know, I want to reach out to other people too. If anyone is in any struggle, or anyone watches these videos online, like we're just, it's testimonies have really helped me as well. Seeing other people come out of things, and I just really, I think that's it. Perseverance ties into it too. It's a huge thing in Scripture. Perseverance. We should be waiting and watching, and it makes me think of the parable of the 10 virgins, where you had the foolish virgins went to the wise virgins and they asked them to for oil for their lamp, but the wise ones said, we can't give you the oil or we won't have any oil. So, you know, if we're in sin, then the Lord is going to come to us as a thief in the night, and we have to fear the Lord. We have to really think about, you know, what we're doing, and if we're right with the Lord, and I mean, we will receive the promises. It's just it's not like the Lord wants us to be just sad all the time, but we need to be sorrowful in our situation if we are in some kind of sin. So let's praise the Lord. I love this message because it really relays things really well. So I don't want to talk too long. I apologize for that. I just wanted to relay that, a little bit of that testimony. So praise God. Glory to the Lord.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I'm no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he needs best, lovingly its heart of pain and pleasure, mingling joy with peace and rest.
Prepare for you in heaven.
Thank you.